Welcome to the Gooder Podcast, where we talk with powerhouse women in CPG about their journeys to success. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm guiding mission-driven consumer brands to attract new and passionate consumer base, crush their categories through growth and innovation, and magnify their social and environmental impact. If your brand is in need of brand positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we are here to help. You can find more information at www.retail-voodoo.com.
Hi, Diana Frike here. I am the host of the Gooder Podcast, where I get to talk with the powerhouse women in the food, beverage, and wellness categories about their journeys to success and their insights on the industry. This episode is brought to you by Retail Voodoo. Retail Voodoo is a brand development firm. Our clients include Starbucks, Kind, REI, PepsiCo, Hi-Key, and many other market leaders. We provide strategic brand and design services for food, wellness, beverage, and fitness industries. If your goal is to increase market share, drive growth, or disrupt the marketplace with new and innovative ideas, give us a call and let's talk. You can find out more at retail-voodoo.com. Well, today we get to meet Miss Tara Staton, who is a marketing and innovation director for Bulletproof 360. Tara's passion for delighting customers with better-for-you products led her to leave microbiology lab work to develop and market new products in the fast-paced CPG world at companies like Bulletproof. And the bonus for me, although not just today, is that she's here in Seattle. I love that. Okay. So before we get to meet her, I do want to thank Karen Ha, a former Gooder podcast guest, who right now is a fractional marketing and product strategist for anyone who might need a whip smart marketing leader with strong innovation tendencies. Check her out on LinkedIn. It's Karen Ha, H-U-H is her last name. Okay. And I know that Tara, you and Karen worked together before, and that's kind of how we met each other. Hey,
exactly. Yeah. I love working with Karen. We're together at Bulletproof.
Yes. Well, hi, Tara. How are you?
Excellent. Having a great day so far.
Oh, good. I think you are up the street from me. Are you working from your home today?
Yes. I live in Kirkland.
Oh, you're in Kirkland. For some reason, I thought you lived right up the street from me. You're all the way across the lake from me. So no. Okay. But you are in Kirkland and you are close by. So I do like that. Okay. So you have had a really amazing journey to the role that you're in right now. But before we get into some of that meat, let's talk about where you are now. If you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about Bulletproof 360. What is the brand? What do you guys do? And what does it stand for?
Yeah. So Bulletproof 360 is, you know, a CPG company. We make food, beverages, supplements, kind of across a wide spectrum of categories. Mm-hmm. And really, it's about feeling better. And so all of these things are designed to help you improve your life, whether, you know, there's a whole diet component of it, if you want to go that far, or maybe mm-hmm. you just want to have a protein bar, or maybe you just want to take mm-hmm. a sleep gummy at night to help you sleep better. Mm-hmm. All of these things are things that can help you, you know, feel better, improve your life on a micro or macro scale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very much a lifestyle brand. For those of you that might be using MCT oils, I want to say that it's Bulletproof's fault that that became a thing. Am I right?
Well, we'll take credit for that for sure. Yeah, MCT oils are amazing and finally come into the forefront for the amazing energy source that they are.
Yes.
Digested directly by the liver for ketone energy. Even if you're not fully keto, still a great source of energy for your mm-hmm. body. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll take the blame for that one.
I love it. Okay, so your role is Director of Marketing and Innovation. Now, I'm seeing a little bit more of those roles compressed together, but for Bulletproof, what does that mean you do for them? What's your primary day-to-day look like?
Yeah, it encompasses a lot, which I love. It's what I love about marketing and innovation. You get to touch mm-hmm. so many things, but it's really a product from inception. So the ideation, working with the R&D team to come up with, you know, the product itself, all the way through to in market and all the marketing communications mm-hmm, that happen. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. that's what I love about it, is you get to see things from end to end, you know, mm-hmm. everything from the baby stage of, you know, what is the consumer insight? How do we want to make the flavor? Should it be a love tasting things? Of course. All the way through to what do the velocities look like at a retailer like Whole Foods, and what can we do to support that? And it's just so fun to be able to do everything end to end.
Mm-hmm. I really love that we're seeing innovative companies thinking a little bit more like that. The removal of the silos, I think, is really creating some fantastic innovation. Marketers and R&D for the longest time were kind of in separate worlds, now have come together. And I think we're getting some of the most amazing, the amazing products in the market right now that we just simply couldn't have operating in the silos of the past.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think when you're on the commercial end of it, you see a lot of insights from consumers, and that has to translate back to the innovation. It's like, what are consumers asking for? Hey, let's make that. Like, makes total sense. We just it just hasn't happened as much as it should have in the past.
Yeah. Well, so that's awesome. Now let's talk a little bit about your background. I mentioned microbiology. That was your, how you started your professional path. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you got here in this moment from that point?
Yeah, people are always surprised when I say that I have a microbiology degree. It's like, what? Like, you're a marketer. I did it as a fun fact, actually, for some new team member a while ago. And people were like, what? So yeah, I started in the food industry, but as quality assurance. So I would do like testing in the micro lab, you know, a lot of like quality assurance type testing and analyses. And so always have loved the food industry and been interested in it, but I started in a very different role. And I knew when my first role out of college, the QA team was really close with the R&D team. And I was like, oh my gosh, this product development is so cool. This is amazing. And as I kind of progressed in my career, I worked for a couple of biotech companies and was definitely like heavily working in the lab. And I was like, this is great. And I'm like, I'm a pretty good microbiologist, like, not to pat myself on the back, but you know, I'm pretty good at this. But I love to talk to people, and I love to understand what makes them tick. I love to see a product on the shelf and have it interact with people. And that just wasn't possible in lab life. You know, you're making in the lab, you're doing an important role for sure, but you're not like out communicating directly with consumers and with the public. And I just felt that need to transition over there. So I went back to school in the evenings, which is an adventure, to work full time.
I know that.
Go to school. but it was worth it. And then pivoted over to a brand management role in the middle of my MBA, actually. And again, another huge adventure, but so worth it. And able to take that learnings from the food industry and transfer it over.
Wow. So now, when did you know that you'd made the right move? Like, because that's a big thing too. Like, I'm going back. I'm in school right now. And people who've been listening right now already know this, right? I'm back in school, but I'm getting my MBA. That's a natural extension or progression to kind of supplement what I already do. You made a wholesale change. Kind of scary. At what point did you know that you had made the right choice and were going in the right direction? Do you remember?
I think during that time when I was in the middle of my MBA and then, you know, applied for this associate brand manager job at a local food company. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, gosh. I mean, if you remember like the interview, they're like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Like, like your resume doesn't really match up. Mm-hmm. And once I started working on new products, and like when you see that first product show up on the shelf,
really,
you see someone in like Costco grab that product and like, this is my favorite. Oh, have you had this before? I loved this. And you're like, I made that. Yes. And you have that like moment of like, I made something that somebody else loves. And that probably stems from, you know, I love to like cook and bake and give people my food. And it's like that same feeling of when you bake something and give it to somebody and they love it.
Yes.
Same thing when someone grabs it off the shelf and you're like, mission accomplished.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. I know that feeling well when you're walking through the store. They're all your babies, right? I mean, even long into your past, you can, I just think of a lot of the brands that I've worked on over the years, and I'll walk into the store and I'll see somebody geeking out over it. And you're just like, oh yes, my little baby, all grown up, you know, however I was involved in it. That's super fun. Yeah. Now I wonder, during that transition, maybe it was beforehand, were there any kind of like learning experiences or lost opportunities that contributed to your success in this moment? I know it sounds like a weird question, but like, was there like a, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened, and I'm going to let it influence me and lead me in this way?
Good question. I feel like it's almost been the opposite, where like the things that I had in my past that like I thought would be lost, you know, like, oh, those years I spent doing QA, or like years I spent at this job or that job.
Yeah.
They always seem to come up in some way.
Really?
Like there's, you know, something will happen and we'll get like a test result, you know, even current day, we'll get a test result. And I'm like, oh, I fully understand that from a QA perspective.
I love
and
it.
Like, wait, how do you know that? And I'm like, oh, that's where my career started. And so I feel like things come full circle, even if we don't realize it. And it's just, there's like this, the universe has this beautiful way of weaving things back together for you, even if at the time it doesn't seem like the right thing.
Well, let's talk about leadership here a little bit. Now, you've had kind of leadership roles for the last while, and I think when you are a creative, regardless of where you are on your journey, and I call people who are in STEM creatives, because while you're investigating, you're also creating something new, particularly in the role that you're in now. I wonder how your leadership style has changed, because there is a leadership that you must bring. When you are a creator, you have to lead people to your way of thinking, or at least to be able to see your way of thinking. Can you talk a little bit about how things have changed for you by the way of communicating and then simply leading a team?
Yeah. I think if I look back at early on in my career, and even when I was an individual contributor, you know, in my microbiology type roles, it's very individual. Your performance is very like, I did my job, I got these results, and you're kind of done for the day. And you know, that's what drives you. You're like, all right, I got my lab results, or I did my thing.
Check my box.
Good. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But I think as I've developed in my career, had a larger team, there's like this sense of like, it's kind of like a mom sense a little bit, but it's also like a, you know, just like this deep sense of like wanting my team to do well, not just myself. And the company and the team's performance reflects on me and I on them. And we, it's like more, I don't know, symbiotic maybe is not the right word, but truly just working together. And I came from like a pretty individual place. And so it's odd for me to be like, oh, I care so much, you know, about like the relationships and all of this, coming from like a science, very sciencey background. And now I'm all like, the relationship is what matters most. And like 10 years ago, me would have thrown up, you know, had they heard that. And so I think now, like, you know, that's what I'm like all about. And I'm so, you know, like what matters is how my team is doing and how they are, like, emotionally, and how they're showing up, and all of those things. And so it's so funny. I think, like I said, 10 years ago, me would have been like, who is this person? And I just love that that's how you can develop in your career and in your own life. You can make those leaps forward and have your profession help you do that, because it's come, obviously those things extend outside of work too, into your like personal life and your friendships and things, where it's like, it's not about like what somebody can give you always. It's about the relationship you have.
Right. Well, and then, so speaking of that, now this is you, if we're coming from you as a leader, do you have any people that you would consider either they were mentors because they were officially mentors, or just people that you have watched and learned from over the years? And is there anybody that you would say that has helped you through this journey of transitioning into these kind of higher and higher levels and in bigger ways of thinking?
Yeah, there's two people that come immediately to mind. Karen Huh, who you mentioned at the beginning, is just a gem, of course. Yeah. And we work together closely. And she really taught me that it's okay to be direct. Like, you don't have to be a jerk, but you can be direct. Especially as a woman, like sometimes that can come across a certain way. It's okay to be direct. It's okay to have your voice heard. And she was a good example of that, but also encouraged me to speak up, gave me a seat at the table on her team to have those conversations and to like be visible. to our executive team. And I'm super grateful for that because it gave me the confidence to start speaking my mind a little more. So love her, of course. And then prior to that, I had someone who just was an excellent, his name is Mark, and he was just an excellent, understood the dynamics of a corporation and taught me how to, you know, present things and make things digestible. It's not always about like looking good. It's about making it digestible for your audience.
Yes.
Making sure when you walk into the CEO's office, he can hear what you're saying by how, right. what the facts that you're telling them.
Right.
Versus just, you know, what's in your own head. You're like, gotta make it digestible for your audience.
Well, being an expert means nothing unless the people who are receiving your information understand it.
Absolutely.
And it's got to mean something. I mean, it's really brand strategy 101, but this is human communication 101. It doesn't matter what you stand for, who you are, what you know. If people who are receiving information either don't like how it's being delivered to them, or they don't understand it, or it's the wrong time, all of those elements, then it doesn't matter. So being the smartest person in the room is rad until nobody cares.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah. And then you're just a talking head. And I've lived that a little bit at one time in my life, but no longer. I'm also learning lots of things. So that's really great. And I'm loving more and more. There are several women that I've interviewed in the last several weeks who've just really been talking about these male allies that are bringing this kind of the code of business, the communication, the way men talk in business to women so that we can be brought to the table and not just visible, but participate in a meaningful way. That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I, when you're looking back at some of this work, and I know that you talked about, you know, being at Costco and somebody grabbing something that is something that you've worked on, but I wonder, are there any particular milestones that you like to highlight as something you being particularly proud of, whether a product you were in or anything else? It doesn't even have to be work related, but.
Yeah. I think product wise, I had a couple of really interesting ones. One was a long time ago. One of my first like major product successes was we did kind of like a Skunk Works project. And when I was at Monterey Gourmet Foods, and it was an entree line for Costco.
Okay.
And it was
kind
of, you know, one buyer was asking for it. And so we were kind of like, okay, we'll develop it. We worked on it. And then it started to have success in that region. And then it goes to another region. And then another region sees the sales data. And pretty soon, this chicken enchilada bake is in all 8 regions.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that's how this works. Like,
yeah.
you take one small nugget, you get someone to latch onto it, then consumers get it. And then pretty soon it snowballs. And I just always think of that example every time I think of an idea of like, okay, is there a way to do that same thing? If I like start small and just test it and learn and keep rolling it out bigger and bigger, it doesn't have to be a home run from the yep. outset every time.
Yep. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
is that the one that you think of? That's the one that you kind of anchor yourself as like going, yep, that's my proud one.
That was a fun one. Uh-huh. The other one, the other launch that I've loved at Bulletproof, is we launched a product a few years ago called Inner Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
It's this great prebiotic. Of course, prebiotics are so important for gut health.
Yes.
And it's like, it's fairly expensive compared to just a fiber powder, right?
You know, right.
You can go buy like a pretty hardcore fiber powder for a lot less money, but it really is gentle. It really does. Like, I feel better when I take it. And the launch on that, and of course, you know, because I'm apparently a middle schooler, we start talking about, you know, digestive health and,
oh gosh, you know,
movement through the bowels and all of these things. And it's like, you can have some fun as a marketer.
Yes.
With these things. And so, sorry that I brought potty talk to your show.
Girl, don't even worry about it. Don't even.
But there's a lot of fun to be had there and not taking things too seriously. Like consumers don't, like they know they need this, but they also want to know how it's going to impact their life. And guess what? Your gut health matters. You feel that literally on a daily basis.
Yes.
And so if you can impact someone's gut, it's important. And so having a launch like that where we're able to be a little bit provocative, not going too far, but be a little provocative, but still have people understand what we were doing was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's really easy when you're, especially with the types of products that Bulletproof creates, it's really easy to be serious about yourself all the time.
Yeah.
And we're humans. We need a break. Like, not everything has to be so intense. I mean, there are things that absolutely must be intense, but sometimes I can have a little bit of fun. Just a little bit. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so speaking of Bulletproof, maybe can you, I'm going to go a little bit out of order of what I thought I would, but what's coming up? What do we need to know about? Is there anything, can you give us anything on the DL or something that just came out recently that you wish everybody on the planet knew about?
Yeah. So we have some fun launches coming up, but a launch this year, launched about 2 months ago that I'm super proud of. And this is the product I would love for everyone to know about. We launched a greens product. And so it's like a full serving of vegetables. It's got nootropics in it. So it helps your mind and your body. So a lot of people take greens because they're like, hey, I want to like kind of an insurance policy of like,
right.
Even if I eat pizza for lunch, get some good stuff in my body, maybe for breakfast. that's me. And so this really helps out like, okay, I got some vitamins in. This also has nootropics. So you're going to stay sharp during the day and it tastes good. I think there's a lot of products out there for in all genres that, you know, probably work, which is great. But if they don't taste good, you don't want to take them every day.
Right.
I bought a lot of greens powders when we were doing research on this project. Yeah. Like I tasted them once and then didn't want to taste them again. This I'm like excited to drink every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I just love the product for its taste, but also for its benefits. And I'm so excited for other people to try it.
And what's it called?
Greens.
Just greens under the Bulletproof 360 name.
Yep.
Okay. Now what's interesting for me, because my business partner is super fan of Bulletproof. I'm not joking. Probably since the early days in his life, in the office, it's everywhere.
I love it.
But and we've been in this kind of natural's better for you journey for a really long time as an agency. And a lot of greens have come through the studio, lots of powders, lots of beverages, lots of things. And, you know, the American palate is really, really tricky because these greens can be bitter and there's a reason why they're bitter, right? That's part of the bitterness is you would probably be able to talk about it in its most organic way, quite literally. But so Americans, you know, making greens for the American diet has got to be a little tricky.
Yeah, it's very tricky. There is a fine balance between something that doesn't taste like candy, like, right? It's a better for you. It's greens. Yep. But still wanting to drink it. And that's what we found. It was even in some of the focus groups we did. Some people were like, no, I want it to taste like dirt. Like, that's what I expect this product to taste like. I want it to be like I'm in a field of alfalfa, like, you know, living my best life.
It's legit that way. Come on now.
It gives you like a reason to think that it's working when it's sometimes when it tastes a little bitter or a little funky. But we found that most people were like, that was the main reason they didn't want to drink them. Like, I want the benefits, but I just can't get it down.
Yeah.
And so trying to make it that like a little bit sweet, give it a little bit of a fruity, you know, taste, but not too much. Like it's not, doesn't have an identifiable, this is orange or anything like that, but just give it a little bit of taste.
Yeah.
So that it is enjoyable, but it's not a soda at the same time.
Yeah. It is so tricky, right? Because you have where our hardcore audience, which will eat anything regardless of palate and, you know, biodynamics, I'll call it, you know, all of those things that happen to our body when we eat a really robust and diverse kind of diet. And then we've got everybody else, which is a huge amount of people. And really where the market, like if we're going to grow, we have to grow into this whole new space. And how do you take something that is good for you and not disturb it so much that we lose the benefits from it, but have it be start to be adaptable by other people in the marketplace. And we cannot just have the most healthiest people on the planet eating the healthiest food. Like that, we can't, like, we've got to spread it. We got to spread the love. So exactly. I can bet that that is a lot of the tension that you guys play with in R&D.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. We sometimes, and you also don't want to fall in the middle where like the people who
where nobody likes healthy, it.
Yeah. They're like, nope. Yeah. And then the people are like, no, this is disgusting because it's not sweet enough.
Today. Right. So, right.
We have a lot of conversations about that and trying to strike that balance because you're right. Like the people we need to reach to grow from like a company perspective, but also from a like, hey, health and wellness perspective, like part of the goal is to reach new people so they can be healthier and reach them with the message. You have to meet them a little bit where they are. And so we have a line of creamers at Bulletproof. Mm-hmm. And definitely there's like a fine balance there of like, how sweet should they be? Mm-hmm. You know, we offer an original flavor that doesn't have any sweetness, kind of for the people who are like, nope, no thank you, no sweetness for me. And then there's ones that are lightly sweetened with stevia because most people put creamer in their coffee to alter the taste.
Yes.
So it's like, but trying to strike that right balance of not having to be, you know, super sugary like you would have at a coffee house.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet those conversations are fierce. I'd love to be in one of those. Ooh, I love it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So kind of back to what we were talking about. All right. So when you are kind of thinking about your journey into growing into this leader and as you move forward, people who kind of approach you and say, Tara, how do I transition out of this? Or how do I get into something highly technical? What do you find? What advice do you find yourself giving on a regular basis right now? Maybe that's a simple way of asking it.
I love having these conversations. A few people have reached out on LinkedIn. Like, how did you transition? Like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
And the advice that I love to give is just take that thread, take that one thing that you have in common. For me, it was the food industry. Like take that one thing. Like I've worked in food. I haven't done marketing, but I've worked in food. Mm-hmm. Take that one thread and just start pulling it and start going down that path of figuring out how that can transition over. I talked to someone the other day who had a ton of business experience. Mm-hmm. They were an entrepreneur. They'd owned their own business. And they're like, I want to get into CPG marketing. And I was like, your skills as an entrepreneur are so valuable.
Completely transferable. Yeah.
You know a ton about purchasing. You know a ton about like how to reach customers. I was like, those are hugely valuable. Start pulling that thread. Just keep tugging it and keep going down that path. You know, sometimes education can help, but it doesn't always mean you need to go get another degree. Like go start in like wherever that thread is and then just keep going.
Yeah. I like that approach because one of the things that we're taught, particularly in American culture, is to identify those things that you don't know, identify those things that aren't broken and get them and work on them and get better. And I fundamentally belong to that school of thought because I think I was raised with it. But I think in my mind, what you just said is those things that you're already strong at, double down on that. That's where your power is. There's no love lost on the weakness. You can be taught that or you can hire somebody to do that. You don't have to know those things. And those three things that you do need to know, there's a little school that we'll call the school of Google that you can learn a lot from, right? So I love what you're saying is double down on what you know. Don't underestimate your value just because it doesn't look exactly like this. So it's a rectangle instead of a square. Let's not get hung up over these things. Am I hearing you correctly?
Exactly. It's like the strengths finder approach where it's like, double down on your strengths, find what works. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have someone who has a couple of like great strengths and is willing to work hard to figure the rest out than someone who has like the perfect on paper, you know, skills and abilities. It's like, no, go hard after it and just do that. And I think that's so much more valuable because I think they also like know the ins and outs deeply of whatever those skill sets are. Just dive right in. And I found that to be true for myself too. Like I know my limitations. I know what I'm not good at.
Yes.
And I'm able to like phone a friend in those situations. Yeah. And that's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. I love that. Okay. So tell us, I already asked what, you know, what's going on with Bulletproof, but, what's next for you? What's going on with Bulletproof that's coming up that you can share?
Like I said, we have a few fun launches mm-hmm. coming up. Bulletproof's heart will always be, you know, in coffee. I think, you know, that's the recipe that made us famous, if
yes.
you will. So a lot of fun there. And I think really just reinvigorating the brand and mm-hmm. helping people understand what we're about. Mm-hmm. Truly that, like, we want to bring that to everyone. Everyone can feel better. Again, however you want to do that, whether it's a cup of Bulletproof coffee in the morning yep. or taking yep. a sleep gummy. I love our gummies line, by the way.
So ooh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, they're yeah. amazing. I have them on my desk, and at just some point throughout the day, I'll just pop them in my mouth. They're sugar-free, so I don't feel bad about eating them. And you get all the benefits. So I love that you can kind of customize your wellness to whatever you want it to be, mm-hmm. Rather than feeling like you have to fit some very specific diet.
Tell me more about the gummies. What are they? They're a supplement of some sort, but what specifically, what are the functionalities? What are the needs that they meet? I'm curious.
Yeah. Right now we have four. So there's an 80K gummy. So it's like a vitamin D with A and K. So all those fat soluble vitamins that are amazing. We have an immune gummy, which, you know, of course is amazing. And I take every day. We have a turmeric gummy. Which is amazing for inflammation support. And then we have a sleep gummy, which, as you know,
yes, sleep really is big right now.
Everything
that huge right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'm going to check out the turmeric one. Those of you that listen to the show regular and can hear my congestion, I had a bad bout of COVID. I was in bed literally for 3 days. One of them was questionable on whether or not I should actually go get some medical support. And everybody is saying turmeric, 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 turmeric. So not a big fan of putting it in my beverages, but in my food. But then if I could just supplement that, why wouldn't I do it as a gummy? Like that I can do. I love it.
Yeah, so easy. Peach ginger flavor. So
ooh, good. Hey, all right. Okay, well, my gosh, Tara, that's so going so quickly here. I'm enjoying our conversation. Our time is almost up, but I have a couple of questions that I like to ask everybody. So let's get those on the table here. And the first one is, do you have a, you know, I call it a happy hour fact or a tip, something that you've learned that you can share with everybody? Something that you've learned while working at Bulletproof that you could share with everybody that could share around a water cooler or a beverage?
Absolutely. So I think that the one thing I learned at Bulletproof that like was surprising to me and maybe not everyone knows has to do with collagen. So I think everyone's pretty aware that like your collagen production in your body starts to decline after age 20. So when you start getting your 30s, you're like, okay, collagen production is declining and collagen has become big on the market. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize why. And I didn't realize why collagen supplementation is so much more needed than it was in the past. Oh. And people used to eat like organ meats, a lot more bone broth, which had, you know, interesting popularity, kind of eating all parts of the animal, if you will, like a lot mm-hmm. of the cartilage, a lot of boiled soups and stews. And now, especially in America, it's more steaks, hamburgers. And yeah. so you're not getting the amino
lean
acids.
Meats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not getting those amino acids that reside in the organs, in the bones, which those aren't my favorite foods.
Yeah.
So if I can supplement those amino acids through collagen and I'm not yeah. getting them, even though I'm getting plenty of, you know, steaks and hamburgers,
yeah,
I'm not getting those amino acids there mm-hmm. either. And so supplementing them is actually what helps you spur that collagen production, excuse me, in the body, because you're not getting them from anywhere else.
Interesting. Oh, that is fascinating. Isn't that fascinating? And I wonder, so then my question for you, and this might be a dissertation, I don't know. Those people that need to do, that end up doing vegan collagen, do they have to take more of it or do they have to, combine it differently because an animal collagen is so different, right?
Yeah, I think like most of the vegan collagens also help your body. They give you some of the cofactors that your body needs, like vitamin C and selenium, those things that your body needs to produce collagen. So it kind of helps spur your body on in its own right. Yeah. So yeah, like, and it's just about eating like a really diverse diet so that you can get all those amino acids from different places.
Interesting. Okay. Ooh, that was super. I was taking collagen and then I stopped. And now I'm thinking I need to rethink that again. So I'll have to check that out. Okay, very good. Thank you for that. Okay, are there any other women leaders out there, rising stars in our industry or not, that you would like to elevate or just simply admire for the work that they're doing? Who are they and why are they on your radar?
Yeah. So there's someone who comes to mind, Serenity Carr over at Serenity Kids Baby Foods. They have baby and toddler foods. Mm-hmm. She just is an amazing human being, but they really changed the way baby food is thought about and kid food. Mm-hmm. It's really like paleo based. So mm-hmm. a lot less sugary, a lot more like, you know, healthy fats, proteins. Yep. And I just love that they have like grain free puffs to give to your kids. And I just love that someone has taken a pretty like mature category and shaken it up and really for the benefit of kids who, you know, everyone like knows that kids need, you know, less sugar and all those things. So I just love what they've done, kind of reinvented that category a little bit.
I'm always curious and maybe odd is the word of people who decide to go into baby food production. It's a tricky category. Yes, it's mature, but the safety issues around manufacturing are just off the grid. And the hurdles that you have to go through in order to become a legit CPG is not a joke. And so anybody that decides to go into that space, to me, is, I think, a little insane. And requires insane, not as in like you shouldn't do it, but just like you have to be brave to do that. Like the work is a lot to do. And I think there's so much room for growth opportunity there. I think we could be doing so much more, especially as we start to see what's happening with baby, what do we call that? The baby powder.
The formula shortages.
Yeah, the formula with the formula shortages. I think there's so much more that we can be doing and not limiting parents to just so few options. So that's cool. I'll have to go and check that. What's the name of the company again?
Serenity Kids.
Uh-huh. And the person that's started that up?
Yeah, her name is Serenity Carr.
Oh, of course. Okay, cool. All right. We'll check that out. Wow. Well, we have been talking with Tara Staton, Director of Marketing and Innovation at Bulletproof 360. Tara, where can people learn about you and more about Bulletproof?
Yes. You can learn more about me on LinkedIn, so just Tara Staton on LinkedIn, and then Bulletproof on our website, bulletproof.com.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for your time today, Tara. I am so happy. First of all, happy that we have met because I feel a little bit of a kindred spirit. So that's been fun. And I look forward to watching what you and the team over at Bulletproof get into this year. And I want to thank all of you listeners for your time today. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day and we'll catch you next time on the Gooder Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to click subscribe and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.